Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Washington about the whistleblower. What does it mean to you and me? The U.S. refugee program cut the numbers to the lowest level in history, they say. People are gearing up for the vote, and there's still some time left before that, you know. And a new poll says that the president's approval rating is at about 46%. What does it all mean, and why do we mash it all up at the top like we're throwing in bacon bits and chives into our mashed potatoes? Because I say this show is about what's happening in your backyard and mine, and what are we talking about? And this is what we're talking about. What does impeachment mean, and what is this whistleblower, and what is all this about? So let me try to break it down for you the best I can as I understand it. A former CIA analyst, Fred Fleets, said Thursday that the whistleblower complaint against the president was a grievous violation of trust between the Intelligence Committee and the White House, and actually questioned whether the individual went to Congress before approaching intelligence people. So what did the House and Senate Intelligence Committee Democratic members and staff know about, and when did they help orchestrate the complaint? That is some of the rallying cry coming from the other side, because, you know, we have sides in this country. So the acting director of National Intelligence, Joe McGuire, testified Thursday before the House Intelligence Committee on that complaint that he released to congressional committees on Wednesday. He released, though, a redacted, unclassified version of the whistleblower's complaint right before his testimony. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, said that six committees are going to investigate the president for impeachment regarding this 25th of July telephone call with the Ukrainian President Zelensky, and whether he suggested an investigation of former VP Joe Biden. So the redacted complaint, meaning they pulled things out of it, said that the Trump administration tried to lock down all records of the call, though the whistleblower learned of the action from multiple U.S. officials. So how interesting is this? And, of course, there's rules restricting access and knowledge of the sensitive calls, so obviously that was breached. The whistleblower wasn't on the call and was not approved to receive information about the call or communication, and how would they have been briefed on the call at all is now kind of where some of the conversation is headed in some directions, right? So most whistleblowers go directly to the intelligence oversight committees, but this didn't happen this time. So it is very curious as to, how did this end around happen, and who is the person? I mean, that's what we're thinking. What is their actual, you know, what is their actual title? So the lockdown of the Ukraine call, a former CIA director says, well, at least it means that they're thinking of a cover-up, and that's Leon Panetta, who is the former CIA director and chief of staff, he was, to President Bill Clinton. He says it looks like there's evidence of an attempt to conceal a crime. He said, I never experienced the steps of isolating the president's calls. They were always kept in the same place. So this whole thing is very mysterious. What was said on the phone call? What does it mean? What was said in the call? And what about Joe Biden's son, Hunter, and his connection to the Ukrainian energy firm? And he's fanning the flames Biden is about this, because he's going all in on the impeach him and this is wrong and all of that. But then the question still becomes about his son and the money he made from this energy company, and then the specifics of what the call, I guess, with the President Zelensky were, and we don't know that. And we don't know that what was concealed, etc. We do know there's redacted and unredacted and lots of conversation about whether there was mismanagement and is the grievous and all of that in between. And to me, it just is the same gobbledygook with no end in sight. So I think this is conversation that's going to go on and on and on and on. And will the president be impeached? And I'll tell you, there's people around me that really feel like, hey, there's evidence, they're going to go after him. It's going to happen. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think we turn the corner. First of all, we turn the corner on time. And as we get closer and we're in this race to November and the next election, it wouldn't make any sense if you're like on the cusp of it, unless you really, really knew you could nail it shut, which was always what I contended all the way along, playing with the whole idea of it and what was said and this is said and do we know. I mean, it does come down to the whistleblower. I mean, who is the whistleblower, and what do they really know? All right, let's go to Grim in Mississippi. Hello, Grim.
Hey, Kate.
Hey, what do you think? Who's the whistleblower? Who is the whistleblower?
You don't want me to answer that the way I want to.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay. Who knows?
But if I were to pick up a law dictionary, or if I were to go to court, third party hearsay is not even close to being admissible in a court of law.
Yeah, if there's no firsthand source that filed it. Yeah.
Well, it goes to third party. I heard it has even gone. I heard from a CIA representative. I'm trying to think. That's not exactly what I mean, but I was listening to Mark Levin, and he had a retired CIA agent on there, and I've heard that this letter is like it was put together by an attorney because of its precision, and it goes to even as going so far as to fourth party hearsay. That's not what upsets me. What upsets me is we're going to waste another, $30 million like we did with the Russian and go into this witch hunt and waste $30 million and not prosecute those that have actual factual written and recorded evidence of collusion and racket. Racketeering, and because really it is racketeering that Biden, when you put your own son to get your own paycheck from him, from the government that he approves.
Yeah, you know what, Grim? I knew there was from a foreign country. I knew there was a reason we went to you. You made some very good points there, especially talking about what you said, the number. Thanks, Grim. That how much money do we put down the drain on this investigation if there's nothing there? How many times did I say that about Russia? That was the problem. So if it is third party, wow, that is really trying to connect some wild dots. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product project I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Youngevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Youngevity.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn her music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow.
It's a wrap with Kate's Take.
All right, boy, my take is, there's a couple of takes that I have on some of what's happening in this country that affects you and affects me, certainly. And what I'm concerned about is the whistleblower. What are we going to really find out? The details on this. Give the details. I'm tired of Surface Pro. I want some depth, right? I like depth and juicy and deep and all of it to be laid out for us. Certainly when it's convenient, it is. And what do we know about these allegations? What do we know about the whistleblower? Now, I get it that there are certain protocols that have to be followed. But I like the speculation. The speculation is because of some of the references. The New York Times, in fact, is saying that, our conclusion is it's a CIA officer. And the White House is apparently saying that in close quarters, that a CIA officer logged the allegations or lodged the allegations and logged them against the president's dealing with the Ukraine, even as the officer's whistleblower complaint was moving through a process that was supposed to protect him against people, reprisals, all that kind of stuff. But the confidence level that it's a CIA officer is pretty much running through the West Wing, the East Wing, the South Lawn, and everywhere in between. It makes sense if you think about the intelligence community and what they have access to and what they know. But the insight into the allegations and how it moved through the government is really very, very strange. Lawyers for the whistleblower didn't confirm, refused to confirm that he, and they're saying he, so we know it's a he, worked for the CIA and that publishing information about him was dangerous. So here we go. Is this a Valerie Plame situation? What does that mean? Neither the White House or the National Security Council, its foreign policy arm, responds to requests for comments. The CIA referred questions to the Inspector General for intelligence agencies. Wow, this is like, I don't know, skull and bones. I mean, I get that you have to protect people who are whistleblowers, but what do we know of the person where it seems like it's checkmate? And I think there are times when you're going to go deeper, meaning if we're going to spend all this money on an investigation, how much money are we throwing at it? To what end? Now, of course, the president and some of his supporters are attacking back on the credibility factor of the whistleblower who has presented the information that's touched off this impeachment proceeding. The president says the whistleblower's account is a political hack job. But the curiosity is, you know what they say about curiosity? The curiosity level is very, very high. I think not just with me, but across America. I had a lot of people today stop me and ask me about what did I know about the impeachment? What does that mean? And what's going to happen? And are they going to go after the president? For the attorney general, he was briefed and he didn't oversee the discussions about how to proceed, however, because that's probably a smart move on their part to pull him away from that. The, whistleblowers, what the former executive director of the intelligence community whistleblowing program says, you know, they're like tuna in a shark tank. And then he says he advises whistleblowers against going to general counsels because the general counsels have to report the matter. So that means if all of that really is happening, has happened, then guess what we're going to find out? We're going to find out who it may leak out, who it is. Just tell us what's on the call. What possibly is on the call? Is there reason for the president to be worried? If you're the leader of the free world and there's wild accusations being bantered about, but you know if there's evidence or not, where do you move from this? I mean, if the complaint is alleging a cover-up, that's still not direct if it's one or two people over. So to me, my take on all of this is stop teasing us. Give us something with depth. Tell us more of what you know. You want us to watch, listen, make our own minds up, but then you don't give us enough information on all of it. And how can we come to terms with whatever it is? So if the president is impeached, I read an interesting story about the stock market. If that really, really were to happen, what would it mean to the stock market? Well, the president tweeted out, if they actually did this, the markets would crash. Do you think it was luck that got us to the best stock market and economy in our history? He says it wasn't. Because, of course, stocks hit a terrible low after Nancy Pelosi called for an impeachment inquiry. So we don't still know the specifics of the call. And what does it mean? I do agree. If haphazardly everything was thrown together, the stock market would crash. The stock market has been flat, really, for 20 months. Then you have the trade war. And then when you get the trade war, of course, that also eats into and permeates, sadly, everything that you do. I say it every single time. It was brilliant, whoever came up with the what's in your wallet. What's in your wallet? That's what people care about. Are they employed? Do they have a road? What's going on? All of that adds up to the meat. And so when other people aren't required to put the meat on the table, it is very, very confusing, needless to say. So how do we get around that? Be as transparent as possible. And what a difference that could make. Like you heard what I said, as possible. Transparency is good in many, many senses, but there are those limited times where it's not, where it's not good. So we move from that conversation and my take to the fact that one of the saddest stories that I happened to see today, earlier and much earlier in the day, is that the Army felt the need to say there's no specific or credible threat that an attacker may be targeting Joker movie releases, but there has been an internal memo. And what happened? The memo gets leaked or goes out, and it sparks confusion. Big confusion. So, when you see there's online chatter and some of it's disturbing, what does it mean? What is the potential threat? Where is the potential threat? Remember, during a screening of The Dark Knight, and this is part of what brings up these feelings, The Dark Knight Rises, back in 2012, in July, 12 people were killed and 70 were injured in a shooting in Aurora, Colorado, in a theater there. How shocking was that? Hey, the movie's out, yay, and I'm going to go shoot up the movie theater. So the concern is a repeat, a copycat for a movie that is, of all the Marvel flicks, a much darker kind of movie. I'm going to be curious as to what the box office is at the end of the weekend. I hope everything's fine in all these theaters and there isn't any kind of an attack because of the release of the Joker movie. We'll see. Hang around. Good stuff coming up, promise you, on the flip side.
You hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you too. So call the tax relief line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930. That's 800-590-4930.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
At this hour, the name of the whistleblower is still not released, and if you believe the New York Times, the whistleblower is a man, a CIA agent who was assigned to the White House.
It's another witch hunt. Here we go again.
All that said, President Trump unleashing on Democrats and Adam Schiff, who presides over the DNI hearing on Capitol Hill.
Adam Schiff and his crew making up stories and sitting there like pious.
In USA News for your health, the government reporting more people have died from vaping and hundreds more sick. The CDC in Atlanta confirms 12 people have died from vaping in 10 states, and the number of people with lung injuries associated with e-cigarettes or vaping jumps from just over 500 to more than 800 now in nearly every state in the country. Some people so sick they're in the hospital on a ventilator to help them breathe. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Us to talk about something that is so important to me, and I know for so many of you, we've talked about driving fatalities and what's happened with young drivers in the U.S. and how scary it is. You think of the distractions and what now you have to deal with population-wise, etc. But I am so glad he's with us to talk about that because he's got a book called How's My Driving? Steve, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for calling.
The, you know, talking about driving and statistics and the staggering death statistics are just, they're through the roof, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I just, I literally looked up this morning on Google, just Googled automobile car crashes in the United States, and it comes up with a statistic that says, on average, 6 million car crashes a year occur.
Wow.
And if you reduce that down to the ridiculous, it's the way they say that when you, you know, get it down to something that means how often does it really occur, it turns out to be about one every 5 seconds. That's not people dying, but that's people in fender benders all the way through the ones that do produce crashes.
Wow.
My major feeling and reason for trying to get out there is I've been talking with teens for a long, long time because the number one cause of teen death is distracted driving in cars. It's the number one. There's no close second.
Hmm.
And it really comes down to education. They just don't think it's going to happen to them.
All right, so in educating them, what do you talk about that can help some of the people that are listening? And, of course, they can pick up your book, too, as well. That'll even deepen that knowledge. Tell us a few things.
Okay, well, what I do generally, I mean, there are some basic questions that I ask people that they kind of look at me strange when I ask them. For instance, what stops the car? And people generally answer that by saying the brakes do. And I don't disagree that you have to press on the brakes and that you have to be a part of that. But they fail to realize that the thing that really causes a car to slow down and stop is the quality of contact of your tire with the road. If you're on ice, you can step on the brakes really, really hard, and it doesn't do much for slowing you down. If you're on sand or wet roads or any of that, you need to be following people farther away, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. So you need to keep that distance. And a lot of times, boy, I see that all the time on the road, that people don't keep that distance. And then you're right. Then you see those accidents. And a lot of times it has to do with that we're on top of each other.
Right. You know, Kate, another thing that I really, really go after is this whole use of the word accident. In my lifetime, accident has come to mean just about anything that happens that you really didn't want to happen. And honestly, if you look up the definition of accident in the dictionary, it says something that happens with no apparent cause. And I really think when you talk about car crashes that if you think about that the only thing that would fit that definition would be you're driving along in your car and an airplane falls out of the sky and lands on your car.
Wow.
Or a space rock. Or honestly, the only other one that's car related would be if you were stopped at a traffic light and somebody runs into you, you can't apply their brakes. Everything else after that is a crash.
Wow.
And we think of, you know, everything's an accident. No matter what we do, it's an accident. No, it's not. There's been so many lives that are lost by just really, really a culmination of many poor choices.
I like the way you clarify that. We're speaking with Steve Jaddick. We're talking about how's my driving. You definitely want to pick this up because it is the number one cause for young driver deaths in the United States. Wow, wow, wow. What are the distractions? I think there are many more distractions than we had before. Like I'm thinking, I've even seen people looking at YouTube driving down the road.
I saw a person just the other day with a newspaper open on their steering wheel. And the problem that I really, really think is not that, you know, everybody looks at somebody like that and they say, well, they must be stupid. No, they're not. I don't believe that anybody has a death wish. But I don't believe that anybody thinks that bad things are going to happen to them. When it happens, it's kind of like the school shooting at Sandy Hook. You know, I mean, I heard a father make a statement. You know that stuff happens, but it's never going to happen here. Well, it did. And if my wife and I were involved in a very, very bad car crash early in our life. She was 6 months pregnant, and she and I both nearly lost our life. The child didn't survive.
Oh.
And I tell that to everybody, not because I want them to feel sorry for me, but because I know what that feels like. And part of my training in my driving school is to help people understand that if I could sprinkle fairy dust on you or something like that that would keep you safe, I would do it. But distracted driving is a choice. It really is. And, you know, that we went through that. Having gone through it, I know what that feels like. And I hear this all the time from people saying, I know how you feel. I'm sorry, but you don't. Unless you've actually experienced it, you don't. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And, you know, when you talk about that, obviously deeply personal, and it nails home what happened with you and what you've now seen, too. And, again, it's how's my driving. What's your hope that if more people read this, if more people are aware, the lives will be saved and we won't have as many accidents and that kind of thing?
We won't have as many crashes.
Yeah, crashes.
No, actually, it's an awareness thing. I mean, if you know that something is dangerous and you approach it with the proper amount of concern, anything can be really easily dealt with on a regular basis. But if you go into it with a "it's not going to happen to me" attitude, then when it does, you're not going to be prepared for it. the thrust of our driving school is to get people ready to be aware of their surrounding circumstance, situational awareness. We have an acronym that we use, which is in the book, and it almost spells spider, but the I and the P are backwards. And what it literally stands for is an activity that you can do in the car or anywhere, actually walking around the house. And it stands for search, identify, predict, decide, execute. And then the thing that makes it work is repeat. Now, no place in there is there an opportunity to use a cell phone or to put on makeup or to shave your head like I saw a guy doing on the interstate one day.
Wow.
Yeah. But honestly, nobody thinks it's going to happen to them. And,
yeah.
And I understand why they do that, because if you thought it was, you wouldn't leave your house.
That's true. So it's that invincibility thing, and that's what you're trying to tell people. And when you talk about the acronym you just used, I mean, all of them are equally important, but share with us some of what you can do. So you look around at your surroundings, right? Meaning be a defensive driver?
Well, just think about it, getting out of bed in the morning. If you don't open your eyes, aren't you going to walk into something?
Yes.
I mean, so it sounds silly, and it's really, really simple to do, but it's something that is so simple, but it must be done on purpose. You search around, open your eyes, see what's there. Identify the things that could be a problem to you or you to them. Predict what those things are going to do. And then now you're ready to make an educated decision about what you can do. So you decide how you're going to avoid them. Execute your plan, and then repeat the process, because once you've moved an inch forward, I know it sounds corny, but the situation has actually changed a little bit and you need to reevaluate.
Yeah. How do you feel about, you know, as we move into the future, self-driving cars and some of what's being talked about?
There just recently on TV, there was a picture of somebody that took I think it was in a Tesla. There were two people asleep in it, driving on some interstate roadway in California, I think. And when I see stuff like that, I think, you know, the quality of our ability to bring technology up to do stuff that we don't have to do is wonderful. But it's not consistent across the board. People are still out there driving, and they're making instantaneous bad decisions rather than trying to continually arrive alive. And so, you know, self-driving, I personally, I don't agree with. I mean, you know, it's not like it's ever going to be the Jetsons.
Mm.
But it literally is, we're depending too much on technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is you're driving a 4,000-pound piece of equipment that can kill you or can kill other people or both.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Steve, how do people get a copy of How's My Driving?
Well, there's a website for it. I have a website for my driving school, which is drivingschoolfl.com, and it will be available through that. But anybody who here's my email address. It's kind of corny, but it goes along with it. It's steve.howsmydriving@gmail.com, and if they want, they can address me there.
Perfect.
It's just something that, like I said, I think it's an awareness issue. It's lifting our head up out of the sand and understanding that there's no reason in the world for us to go and have car crashes on a daily basis. It's really not.
Yeah. Yep, I so agree with you. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, and I hope people take this away from this interview, take away from this interview so much of what you talked about, because less crashes equals a better life. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much for taking the time to air this, because I think it's such an important item.
I agree. Thank you.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I'm so pleased to introduce you to Dr. Tom Corbett. He's written a book called Confessions of a Clueless Rebel. First of all, I love that title. And this book is so fascinating because it takes us back in time to a much different time in our history. Let's put it that way. I'm going to let Tom really suss this out for you. But it really reeled me, and I can tell you that. And I think of my grandfather and some of the stories that he told me. Hey, Dr. Tom, thanks for coming on.
Well, I'm glad to be put in the same age category as your grandfather.
Well, no, I didn't mean that, but because he
let me get my walker and get over to my chair here.
he would talk about World War II and what happened after it and what it was like. And of course, I grew up in a Catholic family, in a working class Catholic family, and that's exactly part of the setting for your book. So tell us about that.
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a writer and author, but then I thought, geez, I'd also like to eat and have a roof over my head, so I became an academic instead. But when I retired, I thought, I'll go back and I'll write all those books that, you know, have been stored up inside, and so I've been pushing them out at a rapid rate. But this one is very personal, and it does sort of document and recall the years after World War II. It was a different time, as you say, and I grew up in a very provincial culture, Catholic, working class, rather poor, tough, that kind of stuff. But it was also a period of great opportunity where someone like me, a total doofus who had no skills, could actually make it in life and be rather successful. And when you think about transitional periods, you know, going from the 1950s into the 1960s was one of the great watershed transitional periods in our history. And so there's a lot of coming of age elements to this book, sort of shedding the old cultural impositions and creating a new sort of code for oneself. So it talks about those kinds of things, but with great humor and occasionally some real gravitas, because it wasn't always an even ride. The people who have, you know, read it, I mean, it's gotten like great reviews on Amazon, reader reviews, almost 5 stars, and the people who have just talked to me personally about it, like you, have said it just resonates, particularly old farts, you know, it really resonates with what they experienced and what they grew up, and it brings them back in time.
I love it. But and here's the thing. We know that there still is very rough and tumble ethnic working class people that are living in neighborhoods today that I think could relate to some of what you're talking about. And so the question is, I love how you said a doofus like you. And so the title's perfect, Confessions of a Clueless Rebel. So explain the rebel part. Did you have to be a rebel to break out of that?
I think I had to go certainly against all the norms of my early culture, for sure. It was very much, you know, I wound up protesting the war in college and being kind of a leader of a leftist group. And that was a real departure. I mean, everyone that I knew, you know, was both prejudiced. I mean, you know, it wasn't just black versus white. It was, you know, Irish Catholics versus Polish Catholics. I mean, you know, everyone hated everyone else. So to really develop this more universal feel of, you know, compassion, brotherhood, kind of a humanistic philosophy, you had to be a rebel. You had to think for yourself and form, again, as I said, your own moral code. So that's sort of the rebel, and to some extent, I did some of the crazy leftist things, you know, in college and so forth. So that's sort of being a little bit of a rebel. But all through life, I wanted to, you know, carve my own path. And so being an academic was perfect for that, because I could choose the issues I wanted to deal with, and I became involved in welfare reform, you know, at the even on the national level, which was, the Mideast of domestic, you know, politics at the time. I always tried to maintain an independent sort of position, not follow a script, not follow, you know, the crowd, but, you know, do things my own way. And so that's sort of the rebel illusion, if you will. And by the way, I'll just make another plug. If anyone reads Confessions of a Clueless Rebel, then move on to Confessions of a Wayward Academic, because in that I talk about moving from the war on poverty to the war on the poor from the ground level. I mean, from the, from a personal level.
Sure.
And it's all in with the same kind of humor, self-deprecating style. And people really like that one as well.
Here's what I love, is that you are, or were certainly, a jack of all trades, and you also studied for the priesthood. You talked about joining a radical leftist organization during college and protesting the war, and then fighting for social justice, but tell us about the journey of the priesthood, and obviously you didn't wear the collar.
No, I didn't. But, you know, I took it seriously when I was a kid. I mean, I took being a spiritual person, being someone who was concerned about this, you know, about this fellow, you know, man or women and women, you know, very seriously, and I was looking for a way to live a life of purpose, of meaning, and, you know, what choices don't they have in the late, you know, early, just around the turn of the 1960s? Well, it was, you know, the priesthood seemed like a good idea at the time, so I entered a seminary to study for Foreign Missionary Society. That I had this image that I would work with dispossessed people in far corners of the earth. But then I realized you really had to believe firmly in God if you're going to go that route, and that wasn't fair. So, but I still looked after that when I left and came back to college, and I got very quickly involved in, well, fairly quickly in some more leftist kinds of issues. And but again, still looking for a purpose-driven life. And so, but after college, doing is a Peace Corps. It made perfect sense. That was a, it was sort of the seminary, but with a in a more humanistic vein.
I like that, more humanistic. All right, so again, we're speaking with Tom Corbett, Dr. Tom Corbett. His book, Confessions of a Clueless Rebel, you can get it on Amazon.com, of course, here on Author's Corner. So when people read this, what do you hope they take away?
Well, I hope they can take away a sense of hope. One of the tragedies of contemporary life is that the opportunities that I had are often missing. I mean, I spent a lot of time in front of college classrooms and, you know, teaching, and these kids are so anxious and they're so almost depressed because they have tremendous amounts of student debt. You know, they see a growing inequality, less opportunity. I mean, if you want the American dream now, you have to go to places like Norway and Denmark and so on and so forth. But back then, the American dream was alive and well. I mean, my parents couldn't afford to give me any money to go to college. But I could could easily go to a private college, you know, where I had to work. It was, you know, I mean, I didn't slough around, but it was easily done. And all the way, and eventually all the way through to a PhD and onto an academic career. Now, you know, those opportunity paths are much, much more difficult. I mean, society is much more unequal.
I won't
go into the data of it, but, you know, I was born at a time when society was becoming more equal, when both in economic terms and in terms of opportunity terms.
Yeah.
At least if you are white, not for everyone.
Yeah, and now we have the plight of the woman, that this is, you know, time's up and all that. And I think we're seeing a big turnover period just in men and women and our culture. You're right.
Absolutely. And I hope that, you know, we do turn things around. I mean, I'm not always the most optimistic person in the world, but I sense a growing around climate change, about, you know, opportunity, inequality. You sense people finally getting it, that, you know, relying on trickle-down economics is ridiculous beyond words.
It doesn't work today, that's for sure.
No.
And you're right. It was so different before because there was more affordability in what you could do in trying to help kids get to college and all of that. Well, yeah. Dr. Tom Corbett, I could talk to you forever. You're very, very funny, and the book is very funny, by the way. It is just riddled with lots of humor, I think, that anybody could actually relate to. And as I mentioned before, you can get a copy on Amazon.com. Again, it's Confessions of a Clueless Rebel, or as Dr. Tom says, a doofus. Dr. Corbett, this was fun. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.